Good evening. I think that it's obvious that we've all benefited from being here tonight and singing these songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another and worshiping God in doing so. And as we look at this idea, the theme that we've had tonight of drawing near to God, I think it's certainly obvious that we've drawn near to God in our songs that we have sung this evening. In singing these songs, we sing songs of praise to Him, we sing songs of thanksgiving, we sing songs of hope, and all of these help us to draw nearer to God. They help us to have a stronger relationship with God. They help us to grow in our lives because we learn things that we should be doing in our lives from these songs. And it's certainly a good thing to do so. It helps us to focus on spiritual things. In Psalm 73, and in verse 28, the psalmist says, "It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." And so I think that's certainly something that we have done here this evening. We draw near to God when we worship Him. That is the reason that we are here, is to worship our God. And in doing so, singing is one of those acts of worship that He has authorized by Christians in the New Testament. And so I want to talk a little bit about that act of worship of singing this evening. If you would turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 24. We'll begin there. This is a passage that we are all familiar with. But here in this passage, Jesus says that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we'll talk about both of those things for just a few minutes this evening. But we've got to have both of those parts of that scripture in order to be pleasing to God. If we worship Him in spirit, we have the proper attitude, we have the right zeal, but we're not worshiping Him in the way that He would have us to, then we're not going to be pleasing to Him. And on the other side, if we have it exactly right from the truth part of it, the truth aspect, we worship Him exactly how He tells us to, we've got book, chapter, and verse to back up each and everything we do, but yet we don't have the zeal, we don't have the proper attitude and the willingness to do that. We're maybe stuck in a rut, or we're just doing it by rote, and it's not something that we're truly worshiping Him in spirit with, then we are wrong as well. You've got to have both equally in order to be pleasing to Him. And so the reason that we sing songs of praise to God, well, the simple answer to that is because we're commanded to. That's the first obvious reason. God commands us to sing. We see that in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. If you would turn with me there, again, a passage that we're all familiar with. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19. Well, beginning in verse 18, we're told, "Do not be drunk with the wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." And that idea there of making melody, the Greek word there, solo, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it literally means to pluck the heartstrings. And so when we are singing to Him, we're making melody in our heart. It's something that we're doing to the Lord, and something that we're commanded to do. Also, a few pages over in Colossians 3 and in verse 16, Colossians 3 and in verse 16, we're told to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we are commanded to sing to Him. There may be some here tonight that are more familiar with other denominations, perhaps, in this world. And we know that many denominations use instruments of music in their worship to God. And so the reason that we simply sing and we do not play, we do not have a piano up here, we don't have a band, a praise band, or some things that other that denominations do, we see that we are only commanded to sing. And we must respect the silence of the Scriptures in this area. God telling us to sing automatically disqualifies anything else that is not singing. If we're up here playing instruments of music, that's not singing, that's playing. And therefore, that's why we keep that out of our worship to God. There are many in this world that when they worship, they get this idea that worshiping God is for them. And they do what makes them feel good, and they do what they feel like is correct. And we'll talk about that in a second when we talk about reasons that we don't sing. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to worship God Almighty, and we need to do that as He would have us to do. Another reason that we do this, that Dennis actually mentioned this morning when he was leading us in songs, he feels that we sing to prepare us for heaven. I think that's certainly a good thought. And we read in the scriptures of the singing that will be going on in heaven in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and in verses 2 and 3, we hear of singing the new song. There's a song in our songbooks that we sing. It's called the new song. Parts of that song is based on this passage. But in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 14, we're told, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." And so, you know, you see a problem today in our society, and a lot of people, they don't put worshiping God as a priority. They'd rather be doing other things on Sundays, the Lord's Day, than worshiping Him. And you kind of think to yourself, you know, these people, if you ask them, well, are you wanting to go to heaven one day? Are you wanting to be in heaven when you die? And they'll tell you, yeah, sure, that's exactly what I want. But if you're not willing to come to worship, you don't like coming to worship, and you may have heard of this phrase, seen it on a bumper sticker somewhere or something. I've seen it time and time again. But if you don't like coming to worship, then why would you think that you would like being in heaven? Because one of the things that we're going to be doing in heaven for eternity is we're going to be worshiping God. And that's certainly something to look forward to. As was read in Colossians 3 and verse 16, another reason that we sing is to teach and admonish one another. With these songs, with these hymns and these spiritual songs, we're able to teach each other. We're able to learn from the words in these songs, and that certainly should be our focus. Again, that goes back to the spirit part that we talked about. If we're just doing these things by rote, we're singing a song that we've sung 100 times, and we're just going through the motions, and we're not dwelling, or we're not focusing on those words that are coming out of our mouths, and we're not focusing on those words that are on the page, then we're not doing as God would have us to. We're to teach each other, we're to admonish each other, and that's one of the purposes of singing these songs. And if you look at it from a logical standpoint, those of the world that say, well, playing an instrument sounds better, and playing an instrument, that sounds better to God. Well, if the purpose is teaching each other and admonishing each other, if we're sitting in the audience and just listening to a band play, we're not doing that. And so the purpose of singing is to teach, to admonish, to make melody in our hearts, and we can't do that if we're playing instruments of music. And so you've got that aspect of it too to think about. And so these are all reasons that we sing as God has commanded us to. Emotion is certainly part of it. We see that in our experiences in this life, music can play a big part in setting a mood or how we feel. If you start playing some Christmas music for kids, they might get all excited no matter what the time of the year because of the memories or the feelings that brings out in them. And we see that's the same for all of us in certain aspects of our lives. Music can certainly have a good effect. And singing praises to God, it certainly makes us feel good. But again, the focus is not on us. We have examples in Scripture of the Apostle Paul and Silas, when they're in prison in Acts 16 and in verse 24. If you would turn with me to that passage real quickly. Acts 16 and in verse 24, we see the account of them being in jail. Excuse me, it's verse 25, not verse 24. But it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." And so times when we are sad, we can sing. We can sing at times when we're happy. And we have certain songs that the words in those songs are set to fit a particular time in our life and a particular situation, possibly. We sing at funerals when we are observing the life of an individual who has passed away. We sing songs of that can trigger those emotions. And so they certainly have an impact on our emotions. But again, the purpose for singing are to focus on the words and to teach and admonish each other. We see that society today, music is big in entertainment. And I think that's kind of the crossover that's happened in many of the religious world today. They feel like music is simply a form of entertainment. And when they go to services, when they go to worship God, they're there to be entertained, not to worship the God Almighty. And when we have that, if we have that misconception of why we sing, then we can certainly fall into that as well. I've heard brethren from time to time tell me, "We really enjoyed the service." Well, that's good that you enjoyed the service, but it almost seems like it's a form of entertainment to them, or it's something they're coming simply for what they can get out of it and not what they can put into it. And we certainly have that part to play ourselves in teaching one another in the singing of these songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can take it to the other extreme as well. Focus so much on the words that we put those words possibly on par with Scripture. That's something that we have to be careful to as well. When it comes down to it, these words that we sing, they are good thoughts. They are the ones that we sing are in accordance with God's will. There certainly are some songs out there that are not. We've got to be careful of that, because when it comes down to it, they are words written by men. And that's something that as we're singing, we need to focus on the words. And if we find something to not be in accordance with God's word, then we need to be careful and not to sing those songs. And we come across those songs from time to time. But it's been said that by some, and I've heard recently, that we must hold a cappella singing as dear to us as the word itself. And that's simply something that's not true. We can't let singing take the place of studying God's word. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2, and in verse 15, we're told to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we've got to make sure that we study God's word. We've got to make sure that we know what God's word says, so we can know what is expected of us in that service to God. And while singing is an important part of worshiping God, and we can teach and we can admonish each other through those songs, and the focus is certainly on what is being taught in those songs, we've got to keep in mind that it cannot take the place of God's word, because again, it's simply words that man has put down on a page. Another reason that we do not, or another reason not to sing, it's because it just sounds good to us, or it's what we think is best. We talked about this earlier. We sing to worship God. We sing to praise Him. We sing to teach and admonish each other. We don't sing for us. And so when we hear the world say things like, "Well, you know, I don't have a good voice," or it sounds a lot better when somebody's playing the instrument up here and I'm listening, or we've got the piano accompaniment along with our gospel singing. Again, who are you to say what God wants you to do? The only way that we can know what God wants of us and what God thinks is best is by looking to His word, and by looking to what He tells us to do in worship to Him. As we pointed out earlier in the reading of Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, we're told to sing and make melody in our hearts. And we see that the reason for doing that is through those words we teach, we admonish each other. Yes, it makes us feel good. I know that I felt better tonight in coming and singing these songs. It makes us, helps us to draw nearer to God, to grow in that relationship with God and with each other. But we've got to make sure that we worship God in both spirit and in truth. And so as we're singing, we need to keep these things in mind. I'd like to offer an invitation tonight to those in the audience. There may be some here who have not put on Christ. We talked about drawing nearer to God tonight, and the first thing that you must do to draw nearer to God is to become a child of His, and you do that by obedience to His will. And so if there are those who maybe have heard something, or you've been studying and you want to come forward and put on Christ in baptism, we offer that opportunity to you tonight. There may be others who have done that but have fallen away in some way, have sinned, and need to make that right and come forward. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come now as we sing the song of invitation.